Turn up.
Hold on, let me catch my.
Turn up.
You are now listening to Turned Up.
Turned
Up Radio.
All right, welcome to the first episode of Turned Up Radio.
I'm Jennifer.
I'm Kim.
This is Renan.
I'm Sam.
This is Brandon Bernard.
We're five journalists from U of T that are creating a weekly radio show to shine a spotlight on talents we can find right here in Toronto. Whether it's musicians, comedians, pretty much anything that we can showcase on the radio, we're going to do it. We also plan on discussing anything and everything relating to pop culture, music, celebrities, you name it. So with that being said, I think it's time we get right into it.
All right. So the first thing is our On Blast segment. And I think we're going to focus a little bit on Toronto-born Drake.
Drake, that pop artist.
Yes, Drake.
The pop rapper.
So let's talk about his album, Nothing Was the Same. I think it's safe to say it was possibly the greatest album of the year.
No. You have to understand what Magna Carta Holy Grail dropped this year, Yeezus dropped this year, My Name Is My Name dropped this year, and Drake is not even top five on that list.
I don't understand how you could actually say that though. Let's just look at the facts. I mean,
no, Drake, well,
like look at it. Drake's first week sales tally up to 61,000 made. That's like the fastest selling hip hop album of 2013. It actually beat the opening sales of Kanye West's Yeezus, which sold 25,000 to be exact, and Jay-Z's Magna Carta that sold 39,000.
Yeah, but you're looking at album sales as opposed to content on the album. The album itself is subpar at best, where you have Yeezus, which is actually an experimental album that's like pushing the limits of what rap music can be. When you compare it to even what else drops, My Name Is My Name, the production on the album is just so much better than what Drake put this out this year.
Okay, so I get it. So basically, album sales mean nothing about content of the music.
Yeah, because album sales, if you sell a million albums and you sell 2 million albums, the music on the album don't change.
Okay, so let me give you a question. So you're saying that possibly Jay-Z and Kanye West are like better rappers or better things?
Well, to me, the best album of the summer of this year so far was Yeezus. Just for the fact that it was an experimental album and it was so much different than anything anyone is putting out right now. Like, if Kanye puts out an album, you know that's Kanye. Like, you know, if... Because, like, no one else makes music like Kanye West.
Yeah, no one else makes music like Drake.
Yes, a lot of people make music like Drake. A lot of people are stealing
like
that Drake sound.
Like who?
Like, what's the guy's name? Is it Kurt Bangs?
Kirko Bangs?
Whatever his name is. I don't know. I don't follow
that
his music.
That guy's not that big.
But he does make music like Drake, does he not?
No. He didn't blow up like Drake, though.
Okay, but it doesn't mean he doesn't make the same type of music he makes. I mean, just like when you look at, like, even Mac Miller. Mac Miller has a style that is very simple to him. Like, you know, like Drake's album, like, I don't see the evolution in, like, his music. It's just kind of, it's like, you was Thank Me Later drop, and then Take Care, and then this album is not so much different than those other albums.
I don't understand. This album he released, he leaked like five. His music's so good. He just gave five radio bangers just off the bat.
Yeah,
the
but
bat. Like, but I don't understand. What do you mean evolution?
Okay, when you listen to a Kanye West album, when you listen to College Dropout, then you hear Late Registration and you hear Graduation, okay, you so hear the evolution in the music. It's totally different. Okay. When you hear Drake, I'm not seeing that progress in his music. It's just the same thing over and over again. Like, okay, how many times can you talk about a girl and going to the club and getting drinking bottles, okay, and okay, doing all that? Like, you know, there's no, the content, like, to me, content in the music is so much more important than just your sales and like the producing. Okay, I want to hear something I enjoy. You know what I mean?
Okay, I understand that. But what do you want Drake to do? He's a human being. He grew up in Toronto. He didn't grow up in no ghetto. All he could sing about is what he knows. All he knows is about breakups, relationship problems. So what? Is that going to... Because he knows that, and that's the only thing he can rap about, he's not a subpar rapper as Kanye?
I mean...
He's not as big as...
But I mean, I'm a human being too, and I don't only think about girls and clubs. So, like, I have other thoughts besides what happens at a club and like how many girls I can get within a span of a day. Like, you know what I mean?
Okay, it's just, so what does it take Drake to do to please you, Vernon?
I think I just want to see an evolution in his music. I want to see him rap about something new. I want to see him make music that's just not for one audience, because he makes really good music for a very certain amount of people, and it's just like it doesn't grow after that.
Do you know how widespread his audience is?
Yeah, but it's like it's really specific music to that audience. Like his fan base, he makes music for his fan base, and he doesn't expand. Again,
What's his fan base?
To me, what Drake's fan base is? Teenage kids.
Teenager kids.
Again, like I said before, after people graduate from listening to Justin Bieber, they're gonna go and listen to Drake.
That's offensive. But I think something as well that we talked about before, that popularity doesn't necessarily equal talent either.
Okay, how do you become popular?
Drake's first mixtape, So Far Gone, was such a great mixtape. It was that good. And he has not made a mixtape. He has not made music better than what he's done. He's not grown. I mean, if you look at College Dropout was an amazing album, and then Graduation dropped with another amazing album, and you can argue that My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy was better than those albums before. When I listen to Drake, it's like Drake made Take Care and Nothing Was the Same, and those albums are like this. Like, they're exactly the same. Like, you know, there's no one is not better than another. It's just kind of the same music just being played over and
honestly,
over again.
I think you and Jennifer both have this same, like...
Whoa, I'm not on any side here.
I think you guys are in the same boat. It's just because you guys don't listen to him. You guys aren't open to...
I wasn't making a direct stab at him when I said that just because you're popular doesn't mean you're talented. I'm just saying, in general, there's a bunch of artists out there that make okay sounding music, but because they have a really big fan base behind them, it propels them to getting awards for how many records they've made.
I don't believe that's the case with Drake, though. I don't think he just makes okay music. If he's dropping 5 hits off an album and he leaks those hits, doesn't even matter, and he still puts it on the album. I don't think Drake's an okay artist when his album leaks 2 weeks in advance and it's still beating Magna Carta. And what is that? Yeezus.
It's because he has the fan base to do that.
But
it's not
how
because
do you
get
a fan base? You have to have good music.
No,
good
that's very like it, no. That doesn't make sense because
if you make
good music,
yes,
and you have no fan base, it doesn't mean your music is any less good than the guy who has a fan base. It just means you haven't been discovered yet. Drake makes good music, and he makes okay music. Like, okay, to me, it's just like I'll never say Drake is not a good rapper, because he is a good rapper. He's right now rapping. I will put him in the top 5 rappers. But like
top 5 rappers.
That's a big step.
Right now rapping.
Okay.
Right, like who's rapping right now?
Rapper. Continue. Yes.
But when he decides to rap, but he doesn't make rap music anymore. Like, you know what I mean? He makes pop music. Like when you listen to the songs, like when you listen to
Wu Tang is a pop music. No one's gonna be popping to that. No,
all the singles he's dropped are pop songs. Like Hold Me. Like what's it?
We're going home.
Whatever that. I don't like it. Whatever that song is called is a pop.
Started
song.
From the bottom.
That's to me that's pop rap. It really is though. He makes pop music. Like we can hear the songs right now. Vernon.
Yeah. Okay, so you touched on a really good key point that I like. That shows you're wrong, because you talked about how his music hasn't really evolved and whatever. But like So Far Gone is the stepping stone. It was really good. So that's where he got his popular status from, right? Okay, so we could talk about Graduation, Kanye.
Yeah.
Right. This guy came out with Yeezus. Why did it not sell as much? I'm pretty sure he's been out is longer, and he has a bigger fan base than Drake.
What you have to understand, sir, is fan base does not equal how good you are.
So then,
like, I feel like
Kanye West is he in the top 5?
Yeah.
Is he higher than Drake in the top 5?
Yeah.
Okay, so why doesn't that show on the sales though?
because Yeezus was so different from any album out right now that people didn't relate to it. And that doesn't mean it's bad music. It just means people didn't relate to it. If Drake wants to make safe music and make the same type of music over and over again and sell to that fan base of people who are just gonna buy his music because it's Drake, then sure, that's fine. He can make it. Because honestly, people are gonna buy his music because Drake put it out. Just because it's Drake, not because it's good and not because it's good music. It's because everyone knows Drake is Drake.
We have 5 bangers.
But like
off.
No, but again, a guy like Kanye West, who has a big fan base, took the step to be like, I'm going to release music that I'm not sure about. I'm not sure how people are going to react to it.
So if people don't like Kanye West as much, then...
No. That's... Like, your whole thing is fan base. No.
But
record,
like,
sales
Kanye West
equals,
is a really good artist.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, so I'm pretty sure if whatever Kanye does, his fans should be able to support it as well. No? Because you're saying whatever Drake does, people will just like it anyways because it's Drake, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Kanye West... is Yeezus.
Okay.
That tells you, like, enough. He should be, like, whatever he puts out should be pretty much accepted by everybody in the rap game. No?
Well, it depends on who your fan base. When you
exactly.
have kids,
so I just
obviously your fan base, people are gonna, obviously, you sell more to kids than anything. And, like, your whole argument here is that his fan base
Drake is
makes him
be
a better rapper.
To kids or rapping about kids. I don't think so.
At the end of the day, Drake is a pop artist and he makes popular music, and that's what, and he's gonna keep making the same type of music over and over again until people realize that he has not evolved as a rapper, because so far Garden dropped and he was good, and he's just been good. He's not taking that step to be like amazing, like, you know, like if you have Jay-Z and you think of Jay-Z's evolution is like you had a Reasonable Doubt drop, it was good music, and then the Blueprint drop, it was great music, and the Black Album drop, one of the best albums of all time.
Bottom line, Drake,
like, you know, it's
make bad music.
Like he makes okay music. He's an okay rapper, and you know, maybe one day he'll release a classic. But right now, I've not heard a classic. All right, from him.
So at the end of the day, Drake doesn't make bad music, and you're just a hater.
Turnt Up Radio.
Just move, leave you like a hit and roll. to be. Just think about it. Look down in the back of your mind, by things you don't want me to find. You're shaking and shivering next to the wrongs you've done.
Welcome back to Turned Up Radio. That was the band Dear Love with Don't Miss the Breaks. And with us right now are members of the band.
Dave Rideout, vocalist of Dear Love.
And Shane Kippel, the drummer of Dear Love.
All right, guys. Before we get started, let's talk about the music a little bit. Can you guys, for people who have not heard Dear Love before, describe your sound?
Good question. No. I like to consider us a rock band with a bit of a modern twist. I like to think that the influences that we draw on to write, to arrange, to make the music are very much modern, grounded in genres outside of rock, and that kind of contributes to a freshness in the rock genre, and I hope we bring that.
I mean, we all come from rock background, but since, you know, the early days, we've all kind of developed our own taste for listening, and Dave stays in the very mainstream category and very sort of outside the realms of rock right now, whereas myself and our bassist and guitarist still have 1 foot very, very much in the quicksand of rock. So we the combination that you get with Dave doing all many of our arrangements and bringing vocals in from, say, an R&B or just more of a top 40 category, mixing in with what we do in rock, it does bring something very, very fresh to the table. It's great.
Can you give us some of your musical influences?
I'll let you go first. mine are too.
Oh, man. Well, mine are all over the place, too. I go anywhere from, like, I started very punk-like with Blink and Offspring and Nirvana, obviously, but then it moved on to, say, anywhere between Metallica and Deftones and Tool to Dave Matthews Band and Matthew Good and everything in between. Incubus played a very big role in there as well, and now more so I'm trying to get towards, like, the electronic and rock mashup, so the Naked and the Famous, Muse, and the list goes on and on. I don't want to bore you anymore.
I grew up a lot of the same music, Shane. So a lot of the Matthew Good Band, a lot of Our Lady Peace, which you see reflected in some of our material, because it's all rock in the end of the day. But like Shane said, I like hooks, and I like modern soundscapes. So I'm big into the electronic, as obtuse as you can get, but like Shane said, also toward the mainstream. I like to make sure that our music is catchy. I like to make sure that we're gonna hit ears and stay there. So influence wise, I like the current stuff with a dabble of my past in that, I guess.
And also, I've listened to a few of the songs, Don't Miss the Breaks and Lost, and the lyrical content in all the music is really strong. Who writes your music, and where is it inspired from?
I'll handle it. No. This is Dave.
I guess you would call me the primary songwriter. So as lyricist, I got to carve out an emotional quality to each song. And typically I come to the table with a rough idea of where we want to go with the tune. Hand it to the boys, they will come up with a more technical rock arrangement for it. And that's usually how the relationship works. As for where the songs come from, I think that really actually hinges on where our name, where all of this comes from. It's about the emotional qualities. It's about relationships with people, be it girlfriends, ex-girlfriends, family members, friends, former friends, whatever it is. It all comes from relationships with individuals or with other people. And I think those are the strongest kind of emotions that we get. It's where we, like on a day-to-day, that's where we're feeling the most strongly about is our back and forth with the people we know and the relationships we have. So that's the lyrics. That's where they come from.
Awesome. Okay, so you guys are probably pretty close as a band. And how did... Sorta, not really, like, but, like, how did you guys originally meet? Like, how did it all start? Can you, like, take us from back to the beginning, like, where this all began?
Yeah, it's a cool story. So, our bassist and I, we were in a band before that had no singer in it, and for the better part of 2 years, we were auditioning. We went through periods of just wanting to stay instrumental and then periods of auditioning like crazy. And then after a while, the only person that we auditioned that got all three members excited for the first time was this man right here. And just in that time frame, our bassist and I were also having some problems with our guitarist. So we brought this man in. And very soon after that, kicked our guitarist out. But then we were left with a singer, great singer, and a multi instrumentalist, but not like lead guitar capabilities, or at least not. You know, Dave focuses on the vocals and doesn't want to like. He wants to be free to.
What
do
you
essentially mean?
I suck when I try to combine.
No.
My instruments and my.
I would never say that. I would never. No. But he wants the freedom to run around the stage. His stage performances off the charts. So we needed someone to really fill in the lead guitar void that we now had, and then Dave comes up with this crazy idea. To write back home to his guitarist
from a prior band.
Exactly.
I'm originally from Halifax, so I had a prior band out there with a longtime songwriting friend of mine, Marty, who once this spot opened up, I was like, dude, this is prime for you. This is what we were aiming for. And in a city like Halifax, you're really limited in terms of what you can do with your music career. I mean, we played for the better part of 10 years, and there's a ceiling. You just hit it. It's a small town. Place like Toronto, linking up with these guys, I was like, dude, you got to come up. And within months, he was out here living in the house with these guys, rehearsing and getting down to business. So.
We had a living arrangement opportunity open up, and we all, so let's call them by name now, Arash, bassist, Marty, guitarist. So Arash and I moved in together. Or we arranged the place that we would all be living, and it worked out just perfectly that Marty was able to come in so we could all start splitting rent and bills right away and making it possible. And and we all live in that house together, and it's great. We have a lot of fun together. We're like a family. We fight like crazy, but we also make some great music, and there's like that extra passion and drive because of that. Like everything is so interconnected, and then Dave, being a diva, has to live on his own. So we're
What do you guys like best about Toronto's music scene? About Toronto's music scene, besides all the connections and all the people that you can meet in this big city?
Oh, I'm up again. what I like about Toronto's music scene is that it's hot right now. It's like when people think Toronto, they think music. There's big city initiatives right now to establish Toronto as the next Austin, Texas. Like the city wants to put us on the map in terms of being that next cultural kind of center. So right place, right time for rock to come back into favor. I'm down, and I think we're up for the challenge of trying to bring it back to the forefront, especially with all different music starting to get buzz around here.
Yeah, and you have all different like we have the fortune of being in a city where, you know, all the big acts and the mid-level acts of every different genre come on through. So at any given night, any different time, you have a different show. If you're really in the music scene, you have the option of going out and catching an indie show or a big band coming through at a variety of different venues, or just walking down, you know, Queen West and ending up, you know, walking into the Horseshoe or the Rivoli and seeing what's going on. Like, you just have that option that in many other cities and towns, I'm sure it's not that easy to just stumble across a band that no one's heard of yet, but they're just on the cusp of exploding. I would feel that many of these other towns would encompass bands that are, you know, more of the garage band variety. No offense to garage bands. I mean, everyone starts out there. But
we play in a basement, by the way.
We play in a basement. It's one step up, even though technically it's a few feet down. It's actually
heated,
a step
and
up.
It has carpet.
Exactly. There is carpet. You can sound dampen a little bit. The it's very echoey in a garage, but you know, that's another situation entirely.
So
anyways, no.
Garages. Why Toronto is hot.
Well, you guys released your first song on April of this year, and you already have a pretty big fan base. You played the Teen Fave Awards already. Where do you think the success has come from, and like speak towards what else you guys think you're going to do in the future?
Jeff?
All right. So where? Why do we have a big fan base?
Why do you think you have a big fan? Like, what is it?
There's a few assumptions. This guy has a long time success as a television actor, so playing
stop
off
it.
Stop it, I know. Playing off that is advantageous. I mean, there's a lot of people out there who enjoyed him on the screen, and now that we are together as a group and we're putting out music that we believe to be filled with passion and consistent and hopefully relatable, we feel like the people who stuck around that long with this guy on TV will come over and hang with us as we play and try to get our sound out there.
Yeah, just in the past career of acting and grass and all things related, just very, very fortunate that the show itself and, you know, fortunately my character resonated with people a lot to the point that 4 years, 5 years removed, it's still that relevant. So very, very thankful to the fans who is specifically Instagram and Twitter followers that have given us this avenue that we can share our music with that many people that, you know, most other bands starting at the bottom would have to tour into the ground to make an impact like that. So it's really, really, it's really, like I said, it was a happy circumstance, and we're very fortunate that everything, all the contacts that I've made working up to now, have now been able to open up doors for us in this new career.
Endeavor
that we're hoping to do for the rest of our lives.
Cool. I'm a big Degrassi fan. I've watched it since I was like 10, so I've been there, and I totally have seen you for years. No, just had to say it. My second question for you guys is the name Dear Love. Like, I want to know the background of how you came up with that name. Like, how did that originate? And like, I love the, like, I've seen your like the signage of how you've like done that. I love the black and white. And just how did that develop? Who came up with the name, and how was it created?
First of all, brainstorming and band name. You can write song after song after song and bleed your heart out. You can have practice after practice. You can butt heads. You can celebrate. You can do all this. Band name, easily the hardest task at hand. So we spent a really long time trying to come up with something that we thought would connect with the sound, would connect with the lyrics, and would connect with fans. So Dear Love, everybody has love, has lost love, fights for it, etc. So given that the majority of the music is about relationships and navigating, love just seemed like a perfect term. You love your family members, you love who your relationships, you love your friends, and there's ups and downs in that. and the fact that the music is addressing that, we thought, what better to address it as Dear Love, beginning a letter, beginning kind of just a journey down the different experiences that we want to bring to the table and present this music that will hopefully parallel listeners and their own experiences with the people that they love or have loved.
Just to quickly step in, what should fans see with your upcoming music and your EP and everything like that?
Yeah, so we're working on an EP right now. We've been in the studio for the past few weeks. We're at the stage of laying down vocals. After that, we're going to have mixing, mastering, etc., preparing the album for release. It's probably going to be around 5-6 songs. Lost and Don't Miss the Breaks are going to be present and probably a good signal as to the sonic, as to what will sound like. We just want to make sure that every song resonates. Every song has that emotional factor. So I think that's what people can expect from us, is we don't just write throwaways. We get down into it. We make sure that by the end of the writing process, by the end of the arranging process, and every recording session that we do, that it's hard, and that it takes a lot out of you. But that's what we want to share. We want to share that deepest, churned up mess that's in our minds, and we want to put it down there, and we want people to feel that. It's about feeling it.
Okay, thank you so much.
Is there a release date for the EP yet, or?
Shane probably hates me for this. I'm totally vague whenever I say anything. I don't want to put a release date on it, but it'll definitely out. It's a 2013 release, that's for sure.
Sometime, but we're right now, realistically, it will probably be. We were hoping for late November, early December seems more probable, but
we're working.
It will be the world's Christmas present, so that for sure. You'll have enough time to impress your significant other with a purchase of our
slip that digital download in a stocking or something.
So that concludes our first episode of Turned Up Radio. If you think you'd like to be featured on our show or know somebody who would, you can contact us at turnedupradio@gmail.com. That's turnedupradio@gmail.com.
All right, well, once again, so we are, I'm Shane Kipple, the drummer of Dear Love. This is Dave Rideout, the vocalist and main songwriter of Dear Love, and you could follow us, search us out, listen to us, anything, www.dearlovemusic.com or Facebook/dearlovemusic. Twitter is @dearlovemusic, go figure.
SoundCloud, Dear Love Music.
Exactly, everything. We're trying to keep it very uniform, and if you want to follow me personally, where I also have tons of band updates, mostly everything that I tweet about is a band update. That's @ShaneyKipps, so ShaneyKipps. And that's the same for Instagram, ShaneyKipps. And that's where you'll find us. Also, the YouTube channel is also Dear Love Music.
Yes.
And there's also there's also a ShaneyKipps YouTube channel, which would have a lot of the same stuff as well. So yeah, that's where you could find us, all of it. Yeah, Dave, you want to take this?
Okay. This is going to take up 10 minutes of the podcast. My Twitter. This is Dave Rideout, lead singer, primary songwriter of Dear Love. We're shouting out social media right now. Twitter, @THCRTGRPHR? Yeah. ? If I got that right, I win the grand prize. If I didn't get that right, you're not going to find me on Twitter. Have a good one.
Turned Up Radio.